Have you ever had one of those days where you just felt like not getting out of bed? I mean, you know, one of those days where you just say, I think I'm just going to roll over and stay in here because I just don't feel like this is the day. A few years ago, I had one of those days coming up that I just wanted to stay in bed. I just didn't want to get out of bed because I knew what awaited me. I had one of those things, one of those days that was just jammed up with things that I just wasn't certain I was going to be able to accomplish. I was behind on my writing project for the sermon that was coming up, and I knew I had to get the outline into this to the staff so they could do the PowerPoint and the outline and all of those things. And I was behind. I was not even anywhere close to having the sermon completed. I had it in my heart, but I didn't have it on the paper, so I had a lot of work to do and writing and those kinds of things. I knew I had that in face with me. I had a deadline that next morning. I had to get that in or it would miss the deadline. I also had to prepare for a sermon for a funeral that I was going to do that morning, that next morning, of a man that I had hardly any idea who he was. I didn't even know who he was. I mean, I knew who he was. I'd visited him in the hospital, but I didn't have a relationship with him. It was a friend of a friend, and I was doing it because their pastor was in the hospital. So they called me at the last moment and said, would you do the funeral? And I said, oh, goodness gracious, I got to preach a funeral of somebody I don't know, and what am I going to say about that? So I was behind on that as well. I had a corporate Bible study. You know, part of our ministry is I'm the chaplain of several businesses in the Birmingham, Alabama area, around the state as well. And I had a corporate Bible study to teach at noon just after I finished the funeral. And so I had to go teach that. And I wasn't even completely ready for that. And so I was just kind of wigged out. So I did what I normally did when I got behind the eight ball when I was in college, you know, waiting on, knowing I had to turn in a paper. I would pull what we call an all-nighter. How many of y'all that have gone to college and you pulled an all-nighter studying, getting ready for the next test? I see Corey back there with two hands up. If you had four, you'd put all four of them up, wouldn't you, brother? Me too. We've all done those kinds of things. And so I was just, it spent when it got time to get ready and go do all those things. And so I just got all my gear up and all my stuff, and I had all my things lined up in my notes and post notes. And so I was headed towards my first of several speaking engagements within hours of each other. And so I stopped by a local 7-Eleven type place, and I said, you know, I don't want just a normal coffee. I want one of those latte coffees. I'd never had one of those, so I think it would maybe give you a burst of energy. And I saw the lady back there doing it, and she was having trouble. So I said, well, let me help you with that. So I stepped back, and I pushed something, and all of a sudden, it just blew it all over my suit, tie, face, and everything. Here I was standing there with latte all over me and coffee. Wiped myself clean. Started making my way onto the event, my first speaking event, and I pulled up at the red light, and I was waiting for the light to change, and all of a sudden, the car behind me smashed into my rear end. So here I was, I had latte stain all over me, not certain I had all my writing done and all my message, and just praying, Lord, just take this mess of this preacher and do something with him today. And then all of a sudden I get rear-ended to boot. And so I say, well, we go ahead through the whole process. And so I get to the funeral, and I do the funeral, and I do the best I can possibly do. Ben, you know, those things are tough. It's hard to do. You try to help people in their comfort. And I didn't even know the gentleman. I'm walking out the door, and some old snarly lady looked at me. She said, that's the worst funeral sermon I've ever heard. So here's what happened that day. I was extended physically. I was rear-ended by somebody I did not know. I was blended by something I really didn't want. And I was offended by somebody I didn't care about. That's when God messes up your plans sometimes to get your attention. That's what the story of Christmas is about. The story of Christmas, Martha and Mary and Joseph engaged to be married, settle down, have a home, start the mortgage payments, peace and quiet in their life. In the middle of preparation, an angel of the Lord comes along and says, hey, I've got something I want to mess up in your life. I've got some information from you, and it's a three-part story, and it's big. First of all, you're going to be pregnant before you sleep with Joseph and consummate the marriage vows. You're going to be pregnant, Mary. The angel goes on and says, and I paraphrase, it's a miracle. It's a big deal. You're going to get pregnant without having consummated the marriage bed, and it's a miracle. And oh, by the way, it's never happened before and it will never happen again. And oh, by the way, it's God that you're going to birth. I mean, God messed up their plans, don't you think? You see, God does a good job at messing up plans. All through history, King Herod and King of Judah, he was a control freak, somewhat of a wacko, if I would call him. He was a paranoid, had his wife and his mother and brother-in-law and two sons killed. What a nutcase this guy is, right? He should be on death row for sure. He heard the king of the Jews had been born in Bethlehem. And so he went completely berserk, so to speak. And he declared that all babies under the age of two should be killed. But God messed up his plan. The religious leaders, they had decided they wanted a Messiah. But they didn't want some just any ordinary Messiah. They wanted somebody to come over and set up a kingdom to overthrow the Roman Empire. They didn't want a spiritual savior. They wanted a leader, so to speak. And here comes along Jesus talking about love your enemies, do good to those who despise you, pray for those who persecute you, return good for evil, love your neighbor as yourself. That's not what they wanted in a Messiah, was it? So God messed up their plans as well. The innkeeper, by the way, in this story, the innkeeper, you know, he had booked out the whole hotel, no rooms in the inn whatsoever. He had not prepared for this to happen on his property. And he says, by the way, instead of the parking lot, we have this garage. Actually, it's a stable. And we don't have a bed, so we're going to have this hewn out rock area called a manger, not one of those wooden things. It was a trough. And so this is where you guys can hang out. And then all of a sudden, the baby's born there on his property. God messed his plans up, right? You see, the shepherds hanging out in the fields, worked hard all night long, all day, shepherding their sheep, taking care, tending the flock. They're minding, they're kicked back by the fire, having a latte, enjoying life. And all of a sudden, the angel appeared to them. He said, guys, you got to get up, hurry. The Savior, which is Christ the Lord, has been born. God changed their plans. I started thinking about plans because we're kind of getting towards the end of the year. Deb and I, this past week, we were in the major wind down of our ministry years and getting stuff going on. And I don't deal with all of that. She's the bookkeeper and the vice president of the company and ministry. And so she deals with the accounting, and they were actually working together online. I don't know how they do all that. They were mirroring each other off the computers, and it was kind of strange. I was just watching all this stuff unfold. I'm just the vision guy. I don't want to deal with all of that stuff because I'll get it messed up in a hurry. And so I was watching all that. So we're in this wrap up, and I started thinking about plans. Has 2016 been your year? The election go your way? Maybe not. Maybe it did. Don't know. Don't care. It is what it is. Amen. Did your football team win the games that it's supposed to win? I mean, I'm really not happy that Alabama could be back in another national championship. Good grief. It's enough's enough. Amen. How many more do they need? They say one more, huh? To go along with the fictitious 14 that they've got. No, I'm just kidding. They've won every one of them, I guess. But has your year been what you thought it ought to be? Hey, did we not get a preacher? We didn't get a preacher in 2016. Well, you got one. He's just temporary, right? We'll have a permanent pastor at some point when God chooses to lead us to the right guy. It'll happen. I'm completely convinced of a sovereign God that he has his man and his family picked out who's supposed to lead this church well into the church, next generation of church life. Amen? You see, God's will, sometimes we blame God on things he didn't have a whole lot to do with, right? That's why we should always pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, rape and injustices like that, that's not the will of God, right? That would never happen in heaven, but it happens on earth, correct? Rape, molestation, abuse, physical abuse. A lot of the world's problems are not God's fault. It is our ignorant decisions that we make, or we allow things to make, or stupid mistakes that we make. We say things and God had nothing to do with them. We treat people wrong and God had nothing to do with that either. But what we do is that we want to blame God for this. This is bad, so God had something to do with that. We should constantly be in prayer, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's stop blaming God for the bad mistakes, amen? Let's stop blaming God for these things that he had nothing to do with, and let's rejoice in the things he has everything to do with. The Christmas story reveals three truths for us to consider today. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 and following. I'm reading the New American Standard Version of God's Word. I want you to follow along with me in today's topic. In the short time that I have, the title of the message, When God Messes Up Your Plans. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18 and following. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph woke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth in the next few moments, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be completely acceptable in your sight. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you're about to do in this room. And Father, when you change our plans, Father, I pray that we just accept them and move forward, because your divine plan is always greater than our measly planning. And Father, your purpose will always prevail. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for what you're about to do in our midst today. And Father, take this simple few ideas and rivet them into our soul. And let us walk away from this place completely different. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. When God messes up your plans, the message truth is you can make all the plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. That's a proverb. The Lord's purpose will prevail each and every time. I thought about this text and I thought about today's message, and I came up, God gave me three principles for us to consider today. Just short message for you today. Hopefully it will encourage you as you are in this hectic season of surviving or celebrating during this real Christmas season. The first one is this: when God changes your plans, he's trying to get your attention. When God changes direction in our lives, usually he is trying to get our attention. Psalms 81 says, I wish my people would listen to me. As I began to flesh that concept out and thinking about listening to the will of God, it took me to Luke chapter 5. The first message I ever preached in this building was Luke chapter 5. You know the story, the fishermen were there and Jesus walking by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw these two boats lying at the edge of the lake, and the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets for the next night's catch. And he saw these boats lying there and he used them. They pressed about him and they wanted to hear what the word of God was all about. They wanted to hear the word of God spoken by the writer of the word of God, God himself. And so here they were pressing about him and they were listening to the word of God. You know, remember the principle that says, if we will listen to his word, he will teach you his will for your life. You see, oftentimes we have a lot of engaging. I like to say it best this way. We have two ears and one mouth. We should listen twice as much as we speak. That is the pot calling the kettle black, so to speak. Amen? Because I like to talk. I talk for a living. I enjoy talking. I enjoy speaking to people. I enjoy engaging in conversation with people. But sometimes we just need to listen. Joseph laying a dead asleep. He was sound asleep. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. You see, Joseph listened and did what the command of the Lord was. I recall when I was sitting in my office, oftentimes when my little guy Seth would come into my office and I'd be in deep in study or work or writing or engaged in something, preparing, planning, doing whatever I was doing in my office, and Seth would start speaking, and sometimes I would hear words, but I wasn't hearing what he was saying. And so sometimes he'd had to come and he would grab Dad by the face and he'd say, Dad, listen to me. You see, that's what God is doing to us today. He's saying, listen to me. I have beautiful plans for you, but if you're talking, you aren't listening. So when God changes your plans, he's trying to get your attention. Secondly, when God changes your plans, it also means he has a better plan for us. When he changes it, he doesn't change us for something worse. He always changes it for something better. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans, not bad plans. Good plans, he says, for you, not plans to hurt you. And I will give you hope and a good future. Folks, let me tell you something. God's plans are always bigger than our plans. Not bigger in size, but always bigger in scope. Always bigger in scope, always bigger in idea. God's plan is always more rewarding than our plans. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, no one has ever seen or heard or even imagined what the wonderful things God has prepared for those who love him. So God's plans for our life is always bigger than our plans. God's plan is always more rewarding. And thirdly, God's plan is always, sometimes they're difficult. They're hard. You see, I love that phrase, no pain, no gain. Yesterday morning, I got up and I've been starting in my workout program since my knee surgery, and I'm starting to work out and starting to do the things that I don't like doing. They're called lunges and squats. I don't like anything about them, and I don't like push-ups, nor do I like crunches, nor do I like jumping jacks. Basically, I just don't like to work out. But I want to eat the things that are going on during this season. I have got to do some of the workout. Now, Brother Ben over here could eat anything he wants to eat, and that boy is never going to gain weight. That boy could tread water in a garden hose, I believe. He's so thin. And I would love to be the size of Ben again, but that's never going to happen, more than likely, on this side of glory. So what I've got to do is I've got to do the things to get myself back in shape. And so yesterday I got after it and I'm hurting all over today. But no pain, there's no gain. And sometimes God's plans are sometimes harder than we wish they would be, but they're always better for us. God's plans may be difficult, but it was always a plan of promise. Plan of promise. John 13, verse 7 says, You do not understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later. I did a little quick research. I didn't do an exhaustive deep dive research, but I did find there are over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. 7,000. My goodness, there's only 365 days in a year. We got multiple years worth of promises that we haven't even tapped into. He has greater plans for us, folks. Let me tell you something. There are always those plans of promises. So when God changes your plan, he's trying to get our attention. When God changes our plans, he all means he's got a better plan. And thirdly and finally, when God changes your plan, he's saying, I want you to completely trust me. When he changes it, he says, I've got something great, but you have got to trust me. Folks, when we trust God, we must seek God first. We must first seek God with all our heart. Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, And ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now let me just caution you just for a second, because there are some of these tele-evangelist type people that would say, oh man, you have not because you ask not. You ask, name it, and claim it. It's going to happen. That's not the way it works, folks. That is not the way it works. But sometimes we have not because we do not ask. Church, let me tell you something. Gather in here close. If you are seeking God first and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We need to ask in the will of God's name. Asking that God's will be done in our lives. Seek and we will find it. Knock and the door will be open unto you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, this beautiful text, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Church, gather in here close. If you're going to trust God, you got to seek God first. You can't just say, God, I'm trusting you for it, and live the way you want to live. It doesn't work that way. When God changes your plans, he's saying, I want you to trust me. Trust me, we must first seek God with all our hearts. And secondly, to trust God, we must believe in faith. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and I've said it a thousand times and I'll continue to say it. If there was only one chapter in the Bible, Romans chapter 8 would be the one I'd want. Because Romans chapter 8 begins with an amazing statement in verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who are in Christ Jesus. And that very familiar verse is verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That is believing faith. God works everything out for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Psalms 138, the Lord will work out his plans for my life, for his faithful love endures forever. When God changes our plans, he's trying to get our attention. We must listen to God. When God changes our plan, he has a better plan for us. He doesn't change it for a bad plan. He always changes it for a better plan. And when God changes our plan, he says, I want you to trust me. Trust me that I have something uniquely special for each and every one of you. Now, when you came into this building today, you came walking in and you all had faith. You may not have realized it, but you all got faith. You said, well, I know I've got faith. I'm a believer of Christ. I've got faith. No, I'm talking about you have faith. Because you came walking in here, you slipped into these aisles, and immediately you did what? You sat down. Now this is a simple illustration, but you had faith in what? The pew to hold you up. And some of us, we have a lot of faith because we've eaten too much and we're carrying a lot of faith. Amen? And so we plopped down in these pews that have been in here for a long time, and they're beautiful pews, but you had faith. You didn't even think about it. You see, folks, let me tell you something. God's faithful love for us will endure forever. To trust God, we must believe by faith that he has everything worked out. I can only picture in my mind that Joseph is sitting there, sleeping there, lying there asleep, and he's laying there, and all of a sudden, the angel appears to him in this dream. We want you to take this girl, Mary, as your wife, and she's about to give birth. She's going to give birth to a child, and you haven't slept with her, and she's a virgin, and this is a big deal. Because not only is she going to do this, it's never been done before, and never will be done again. And oh, by the way, he is God. That took some faith, did it not? If Joseph can have that kind of faith, can we take a moment and listen and know that when God changes the plan, he has something better? And that when we trust him, that faith will endure forever. Today, a Savior has been born. The Christ, he is Christ the Lord. That's worthy of letting him mess up our plans. That's worthy of being extended, blended, rear-ended, and even offended, because he is the Messiah, Christ the Lord.